We'll read a part of a verse in Hebrews 11 first. Hebrews 11 and verse 32. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon? Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Now, my dear young friends, this afternoon, you know there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ. And the end of a matter is better than the beginning of it. And so we want to think a little bit about how our lives are going to end up. And what we'd like to speak of this afternoon is the path of faith in service, in communion. That's not a very big subject. It sounds that way, but it isn't. It's a very simple subject for faith. Path of faith in service and communion. I believe we find this in the history of Gideon. And so, we have in Hebrews a little picture of what the judgment seat of Christ might be like. And how would you like to have it recorded in Ralph or Peter or Joe, who did this or that? Or would you like to have your life a blank, like Lot? Everything was burned up, as far as we know. Although I'd hate to think that any believer didn't have something to take with him. And so remember the end of the road now. And so we're going to trace a little bit through the Lord's help in the sixth chapter of Judges. We can't read it all. It would be profitable to read it all. But we're going to take a passage at a time, and we'd like to bring out certain points that will be helpful to us, because I believe that's the way the Old Testament should be used. The 11th verse, Judges 6. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abi Ezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now we're going to stop there for a moment. I know there are brothers here and perhaps sisters who can tell you a great deal about wheat. I can't. But I know this, that when wheat grows, it has a little covering when it's mature, and it has a stalk on it. And that little covering is very necessary in the growth of that wheat, and so is the stalk. But here's someone who's threshing wheat by the wine press. What's he threshing it for? To get rid of that covering in the stalk. It's useless anymore. When I was a child, I spake as a child. When I became old, I put away childish things. Well, you say, weren't they necessary? They certainly were. And I'm not a young man anymore. And the Lord has given me several children, as I can say this, that, remember, you as parents have a responsibility to your children as to natural things. And there's a time in their life when they step up out of that position into the other position. But until then, you have a responsibility to help them along. There's a time when that covering needs to be on the wheat. There's a time when the stalk has to be there. But then there's a time of threshing. And Gideon was threshing. He was separating that which was good from that which was useless anymore. It had its purpose, but now it's useless. Well, that's the first lesson we have here. He's dividing, as it were. He's no longer a child, shall we say. I'm applying it. Putting away childish things. Putting away anything that's going to not be needed any longer in the path of faith. Is that good doctrine? I believe it is. Now, where was he doing this? At the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Strange place to be threshing wheat, isn't it? Oh, no, it isn't. Not for the Christian. Because the wine press speaks of the place of joy. And you never can have wine in the offerings without the oil. And you have to have just as much, if it's a hin of wine, it has to be a hin of oil. Or whatever the measurement is. And your joy, beloved, is just in the measure in which you're controlled by the Spirit of God. The oil is a picture of the Spirit of God. And so, here's a man who is in communion at the very start. And something else. There's an angel sitting right beside him under the oak. And the oak speaks of the cross of Christ and all the protection it affords for the believer. The tree and the angel is sitting there. I want to tell you, dear friends, this afternoon that the Lord is always beside you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And in the darkest moments of your life, He's still there beside you. If you belong to Him. You may be straying. He's still there. And what we find in the story of Gideon is this. That when Gideon makes a mistake, he does. The mistake isn't mentioned. Why? Because his heart is right. That's what it means to be blameless. Not perfect. His heart is right. You know, sometimes we get discouraged when we make mistakes. Don't get discouraged. The angel's sitting under the oak. Remember that. And we learn in this chapter that the angel was the Lord Himself sitting beside Gideon. Did Gideon ask the Lord to come? No. But Gideon was doing the things in which the Lord found His delight in being with him. Are you doing things in which you can just have that assurance of the Lord's presence with you? He's there, but I say, do you have the assurance of it? And what does He say to Gideon? Thou mighty man of valor. Isn't that nice? Oh, what encouragement the Lord gives to those who are really walking in the path of faith. And now Gideon says, you know, notice here. Twelfth verse, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. It says the Lord appeared to him. He probably didn't know he was there until he appeared to him. Oh, Gideon says, if this is the case, why have all these things come upon us? Yes, he raises the question. And we often say, well, I just don't know why this happened to me. Or why this happened to so-and-so. It's so strange certain things happen. But there's a purpose. And David said, you know, in his day, is there not a cause? There's always a reason why God allows things in our lives. And the reason is that He's going to bless us through it. We're going to rise a little higher through these experiences. And so, fourteenth verse, and the Lord looked upon him. Isn't that nice? Just like the young man in the Gospels, the Lord looked upon him and loved him. That's the Lord's attitude towards His people. In fact, it's His attitude even to the unsaved if they'll only receive Him as their Savior. He looked on him. As much as say, oh, you don't understand, Gideon, but I'm going to lead you along. So we have in this passage the progress of faith in service. He said, go in this thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Now I know that the Lord does send out servants in various ways. Sometimes we see the Lord send a brother to a certain place. And sometimes we see him send a Phoebe to a certain place, the servant of the church, Cenchrea, and so on. The Lord has his servants, brothers and sisters. He sends them where he wants them. But the point here is to have a sense in your soul that he has sent you. You know, it'd be too bad to go on an errand for someone and not know they sent us, wouldn't it? Too bad. Is that the way you're doing gospel work? You know, if you really know, if you really feel in your soul the Lord has sent you, and you give the message he sent you with, you can be sure there's going to be a blessing from it. You can be sure of it. If you feel the Lord has sent you. Have I not sent thee? Not have I not sent many servants. Have I not sent thee? Take that home to yourself this afternoon. Young brother and sister, older brother and sister, have I not sent thee? It might be at the sink washing dishes, or it might be out in the foreign field. It makes no difference. It's a question where the heart is. And the sense in the soul that he sent us to do the thing we're to do. And there's no partiality with God. Oh, he says, my family is poor, and I'm the least in my father's house. That's the next lesson. Have you come to this? This is progress in the path of faith in service. Oh, to have the grace from God to know our nothingness, absolute nothingness. Sometimes he brings us down to it physically even. To know our nothingness, inability. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is, because then God can work. When I am weak, then am I strong. That's what Paul said, the Apostle Paul. Oh, he said, if I found grace in thy sight. Grace. What a wonderful thing grace is, and you can't do anything for the Lord without it. Do it right. Because grace starts when you're through with yourself. If you're leaning on self, it isn't grace. If you're leaning on the Lord, it's grace. And this came by Jesus Christ. Grace. Show me a sign. And so what's the sign? He says, will you tarry here a little while? Now, you know how long it'll take to prepare a kid and some unleavened cakes. You can't do that. Any sister here knows that you can't prepare those in a few minutes. To go out and kill a kid and roast it or whatever you did with it, I don't know. But the angel waited. Isn't that nice? The angel waited. You know, God is never in a hurry except to run after the sinner, as we have in the 15th of Luke. He has time. And the question isn't whether he has time or not. The question is whether you have time or not. I've said this before. You'll forgive me if I repeat it, but I think it's important. The day is divided up in 3 8-hour periods, isn't it? One for sleep, and one for work, and one for yourself. What do you do with the one for yourself? You know how quickly those hours slip away? You say, why, I didn't have any time for this, did you? You have time for what you want to do, don't you? Yes, you do. Anything you want to do, you have time for it. Don't say, I haven't time. The Lord has time, if you have time. And so He prepares all this. And now he comes and He brings it as a present to the Lord. And what does He bring? A kid, unleavened cakes, which speak of all the sinlessness of Christ. The kid, you know, speaks of that sacrifice that He made. And then He brings a pot of broth, too. So, the Lord says, now you take this, right in this rock, you put the flesh, and you put the unleavened cakes. He says, just pour the broth out. Why didn't He accept the broth? Oh, no. That's not part of the sacrifice. Does He rebuke him? No. He doesn't rebuke him. He says, just pour it out. First chapter of Leviticus, you'll find that when there were the feathers in the crop, the priest put them under the altar. That's the flesh acting. The priest takes care of all that. We had that this morning. The priest takes care of all that. Oh, how gracious God is. Don't be afraid, dear young people, in case you might make a mistake when you're trying to serve the Lord. He'll throw it underneath the altar. It depends on where your heart is. And so, it says, the angel put forth the end of his staff, and he touched the flesh in the unleavened cakes. And there rose up a fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh in unleavened cakes. Now, fire in Scripture is a figure of two things, one of judgment, and the other of full acceptance. Here it's full acceptance. Mistake? Yes. Full acceptance. Don't be discouraged, for young people, because you might make a mistake. I doubt if there ever was a servant except the Lord Jesus, the true servant. But there were many mistakes. Now he perceived as an angel of the Lord, he realized that he was just a worm of the dust, and he was in the presence of a holy God. And so the next lesson we learn is now, when he realizes this and expresses it to God, God says, peace. Peace. Oh, how do we have peace? The disciples in Acts went forth preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Oh, how wonderful that we have peace now. Peace. That's the next lesson. You can't serve the Lord without peace. Here the vessel's being prepared in communion so that he can serve. He's going to deliver Israel. And so first he has peace in his own soul. And so he builds an altar with that name on it. Peace. Jehovah Shalom. The Lord send peace. But now this isn't quite yet what is expected of one who is to properly serve the Lord. He has some more lessons yet. And so now, up to this time, most of it has been an exercise on his part. But now he's going to begin obeying instructions. That's the next thing. Have you learned to obey instructions from the Word of God? You cannot take your own mind and apply it to service for Christ. You have to find your instructions from the Word of God. So necessary. And so he says, the same night, 25th verse. And the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, and so on. Throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath. Cut down the grove that's by it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, so on, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou hast cut down. Now what he's to do is to take this God Baal that the children of Israel had embraced instead of God, and he's to replace it by the true God, and he's to set it up in the ordered place. In the ordered place. Do you know about an ordered place, dear friends, this afternoon, for worship, the true God? There is an ordered place. And I want to say this. There's been an ordered place from the very beginning of this creation. There's been an ordered place. And it'll be a happy thing sometime. You can trace it, of course, and some of the books are written on church history, but it'd be nice just to have a little outline sometime of this. Thought of it much. The ordered place. There's only one place ever been. And the 90th Psalm. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Is that lovely? No two places, just the Lord. It might have taken various forms that God instituted, but it was one place, not two. Be sure you have the ordered place. Nothing else will do. It won't stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And he did so. He did it by night because he was afraid to do it by day. You ever feel that way, serving the Lord? Nicodemus came by night, you know. But he came. Here's a man that he did it by night, but he did it. He did it. It's not a question so much of how it's done as whether or not it's done. Obedience to the Word of God. With felt weakness, brethren, felt weakness. That's the best kind of service. Obedience and felt weakness. That's the path of communion and faith in serving the Lord. Now we have real progress made in his soul. I want to call your attention to, in reading this, that you don't go very many verses before you find the Lord back in speaking to him again. That's communion. Wouldn't it be nice, dear young friends, this afternoon, wouldn't it be nice if our lives were this way, that we were continually just turning to the Lord for this and that, knowing that he's right beside you? Perhaps you do this. I trust you do. But if you're not, wouldn't it be nice to do it? He's there. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now we find that all this fear that is just worthless. Because, you see, his own father turned against Baal. His own father turned against Baal, and he told the men of the city who wanted to kill Gideon, he said, why let Baal plead for himself? And so they named Gideon, let Baal plead. That's why they gave him a new name. Let Baal plead. As much as say he's the one that's got the victory now. Baal didn't. Just a false god, that's all. Baal means Lord, you know. False Lord. But now what happens? You know, unless you're going to cleanse your own house, you can't cleanse the house of God. If you can't serve at home, you can't serve abroad. But what do we have now? This path of communion is a beautiful path we have set before us here, because the desired results just come in an orderly way at the right time when all Israel is gathered to him. Here's an obscure man that probably no one knows much about. His father serving Baal, and suddenly he stands up and all Israel's gathered to him because they know that he's the one God has chosen to deliver Israel. Isn't that marvelous? Thirty-third verse. All the Midianites, Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over to pits in the valley of Jezreel. Dreadful, isn't it? Dreadful. It tells us here that they were like the sand of the sea. But does that make any difference to faith? No, not one bit. Not one bit. If you're going to look out, you're going to see the waves of the sea roaring like Peter did. But if you look the other way, you'll see Jesus walking on the water. And if the Lord is with us, who can be against us? Have not I sent thee? Be sure you remember that.
Be sure you remember that. When the Lord was with them in the boat and he was asleep, they were all afraid. But did the boat sink? No. They thought it would. But instead, he did what no one had ever done before. He made the sea calm, because every fisherman knows that you can't make the sea calm. And they know, too, that after a storm, the sea never calms down for hours. And yet in a moment, the sea was calm. That's the Lord. And they knew he was God. Well, we have it here. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. What does this mean? Power in service. There's no power in service outside of the Spirit of God directing. He blew a trumpet in Abijah. That means all Israel was gathered together after him. And now Gideon isn't satisfied himself. Though you say, Gideon, you're growing weak, aren't you? You have to have a sign. You have to put out the fleece. You've heard this before, I'll have to put out the fleece. You've heard this expression time and time again. I want to know what the Lord's mind is. I want to put out the fleece. But I don't think that that's what we have here exactly. The general opinion of this, of what the fleece means. Because the fleece is the outer covering of the lamb, is it not? And you know, at a certain time, under certain offerings, the priests had the skin for their portion. That's the life of Christ. The outward observance of all that Christ is down here. The fleece. That's what Gideon wants. Now this is typical, I know. And the things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Our learning. And so Gideon wants to have something more sure than just outward signs. He wants something in which his soul can rest secure when he goes after the enemy. He wants to have that full assurance that we have in Colossians 2. Colossians 1, you have full knowledge presented. In Colossians 2, full assurance. Don't you want full assurance in your soul? Another step of faith in communion. Service. And so, He said, I'll put a fleece of wool on the floor, verse 37. If the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Now, beloved, here we have Christ, just the measure I need for the day, one bowl full. Water's refreshment. The fleece speaks of Christ and all the perfection of his person to fill my soul. That's walking in the path of faith and service and communion with one object before me, the life of Christ. And Gideon said unto God, you know, he wrung it out. He got up in the morning, he wrung it out. You have to take a little time for this. You can't just get up and read a calendar verse, you know. That's good. I wouldn't for a moment discourage reading a calendar. But you won't grow in your soul just reading calendars, dear ones. You have to divide the truth rightly. You have to compare the scriptures. And so, now we have, Gideon said unto who? Lord, notice it carefully. He said unto God. He goes right to the very source of all now. Not that the Lord Jesus isn't God. But in the figure here, we have the Lord is seen as sort of like he was here as man down here in this world. But when it says God, he goes right to the very source of it all. Wouldn't you like to be in communion in such fashion that you can just feel that you're free in the presence of God? And that's what Christianity does for us in Christ. Don't let your anger be hot against me. And I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. For it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Now the first picture we've had before us is the beautiful, the loveliness of Christ, the Lamb. That upon which we can feed each day and be sustained in service and worship too as we go along the pathway. But now we have something else. It's dry on the fleece. And there's dew on the ground. And what's this? That's the death of Christ. That's the death of Christ. And as a result of the death of Christ, that which was dry before, there was dew on all the ground. Now, I don't know about Gideon understanding this, because the things were written aforetime, written for our learning. The result of the work of Christ and the cross of Christ is such that the blessing is like that word propitiation. There's a groundwork laid for blessing for whosoever will. Dew on all the ground. Now this is what Gideon needed before he went to battle. The full assurance of a finished work. Because the finished work supposes the enemy already conquered. Now we have a test made of the people. There were 32,000 people that gathered after Gideon in the next chapter. He's called Jerubbaal now, but Baal plead. That's past. Baal's put away. He's through with Baal. Let Baal plead. It's a challenge to Baal. That's his name. And they're all gathered now by the well of Herod. 32,000. God says the people are too many. Too many. I can't use them. Now we have not Gideon tested, but we have everyone tested. And so 22,000 have to go home because they're afraid. Are you afraid? You won't do much good in battle if you're afraid. You know what makes us afraid? We're not in the enjoyment of that scripture that was read to us in 4th of John. Perfect love casteth out fear. Fear hath torment. Some of you may know, have heard of our brother, dear brother Annas, who's been with the Lord now some years. And I think most of you young people who have been to school know something about the jungles of Ecuador. Our brother Annas, by trade, was a tailor. He knew German well. He came from Germany, but he learned Spanish. And he used to preach to the people along the tracks who spoke Spanish. And then he decided that the Lord wanted him. He felt very definitely the Lord wanted him to go to Ecuador to speak to one man in the jungles of Ecuador. Isn't that a strange mission? In fact, he had to cross the jungle alone to reach this man, a German that he knew, German man he knew in Germany. And he felt the Lord wanted him to go and speak to him about his soul. And he went to Ecuador. His wife had packed his suitcase real nicely, so he put it in a locker in Los Angeles when he left because it was going to be a burden to him. And when he needed clothes, he'd buy them and give his old ones to the natives. That's the way he traveled. And alone, that man walked through the jungles of Ecuador because God wanted him to speak to one soul. Perfect love casteth out fear. I said, Brother Annas, did you ever see any wild animals? Oh, yes. I said, where did you sleep? I slept on a log, big logs. And he said, I woke up one morning, and he said, there stood a beast looking at me. And so he said, I just looked at him. Then he walked away. Perfect love casteth out fear. Oh, beloved, there's few have this kind of faith. Would you like to take that little trip? Alone in the jungles of Ecuador and live on bananas? Would you like to do that? Brother Annas did. And he wouldn't say a word about it because I knew him real well, and finally I got a little bit out of him because he never spoke about what he did, but he always spoke of what Jesus did. And I said to Brother Annas, they tell me that all those trails are crossed down there. How'd you know which way you're going? Oh, he said, that's the simple part of it. You just drop to your knees and ask the Lord, and then you go on. Well, that's by the way, brethren. So there are some who are afraid. There are 22,000. There are 10,000 left. Oh, the Lord says there's too many now. Take them down to the water. And the ones who just lap like a dog and go on their way, they're the ones I want. But those who stoop down, I can't use them. Dear young people, are you stooping down to the things of this life and finding your joy and satisfaction in the things of this world? They might be only things of nature. You may say, well, there's no evil in this. But I say, are they for the advancement of the path of progress in faith and communion? Do you know what a tremendous privilege it is to be gathered to the Lord's name? It's the present testimony.
And it's one thing to say, yes, I'm at the Lord's table. I go every Lord's Day.
I say, are you gathered to the Lord's name?
Do you know what a tremendous privilege it is? And do you know what it means that you have a responsibility in this day to pass this truth out to the next one? Privilege and responsibility. If it's real privilege with your soul, you will never think about the responsibility.
Well, what's the trial then? Water.
Just using this world but not abusing it.
Using it.
Using it. It's there, but don't abuse it. You don't belong here. There are those that the apostle laments over in Philippians who are dwellers on the earth. They mind earthly things. Don't do it. Don't do it. Use it. You may have to go to school in some lines of work to get an education to follow the line the Lord has given you to do. You may have to. But don't overdo it. Don't stop and continue and say, well, I have to just get more and more education. I've seen that happen. I've seen them leave the table. I've seen them go out in the world because their mind got a hold of them and they lost a sense of balance in spiritual things in the way they went. Too far. Temperance in all things. Now we have 300 men. That's 1% of the 32,000, I believe. A little bit less than 1% that God can use. Are you one of those 1%? Or did you go home? Or did you occupy yourself with stooping to present things that are only given you as passing through a wilderness scene to sustain you? That's all. Well, this is a beautiful lesson, is it not, for communion in the path of faith. Now notice, it says, sixth verse, and the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Eighth verse. So the people took victuals in their hand and the trumpets. And he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent. And retained those 300 men. Now it says, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. Isn't that nice? Here he is up on the mountain. It says so at the beginning of the chapter, you know. And there's the host of Midian, like the sand of the sea, beneath him, beneath him, beneath him. Oh, what an elevation for the man of faith who walks according to the word of God. What an elevation. All this great host. They were as the sand of the sea. You know, you can't number it. They were beneath him. The dignity, for one. The world doesn't know it. They will know it at the end. But you'll go around this world unknown and unappreciated, perhaps, and walking in the path of faith. But remember, have not I sent thee? That's the key to it. And God says you're a mighty man of valor, too. God says so. The world doesn't. And every man went back to his tent, except the 1%. In the same night, the Lord comes. Arise, get thee down to the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. He says, I have delivered it into thy hand. Was that not enough for Gideon? Well, it should be, you know. I don't know about the rest of you, but sometimes my heart grows a little faint. And so the Lord comes in with a little extra encouragement. Do you ever find that? Just a little extra encouragement. He says, Gideon, I think you better go down into the host tonight. Not I think, but you shall. Because this is something you need. You go right down into that host. The sand of the sea. And see what you can hear down there. And so what did he hear? He heard a man telling a dream that he had. And the dream was about a cake of barley bread that tumbled into the host of the Assyrian, of the Midianites. Just a cake of barley bread. That's not very much, is it? Are you willing to be called a cake of barley bread so to deliver God's people? Are you? Well, to tell the truth of it, we aren't much more, are we, than a cake of barley bread. You know, barley was the poor man's food. It tumbled into the host of the enemy. And what was the interpretation? Well, this is nothing but the man Gideon, who's going to deliver Israel. Gideon. That was the interpretation by the enemy, right in their camp. Oh, what an encouragement for Gideon. And you know what Gideon does? What he never did before, mentioned here, although he had an altar, it says he worshiped. Are you a worshiper? Now, I'm not talking about going through the form of it, or being in the position where you say, yes, we went to worship. You really don't, you know. What's proper is to go to remember the Lord, and that should cause worship to rise in your heart. But he's a worshiper. He's so overwhelmed with God's goodness. Here's a poor man, at least in his father's house, and his father's poor, and he's hiding what he's doing from the Midianites because he's afraid of them. And now here we find him right at the top of the hill, place of elevation, and the enemy beneath him in the valley. And we find that the enemy themselves are already telling the outcome of the battle. And he heard it. He overheard it. What a position to be in. To have the secrets of God. The Lord God will do nothing but what he showeth it to his servants, the prophets. Isn't that nice? He takes us into his confidence. It's through the word, of course. Well, he worships. And now we find that his instructions are to take a trumpet. Each man has a trumpet. Each man has a pitcher. And inside of that picture, he has a light, a lamp, torch, or whatever it is, but it's a light. Now, that's a picture of you, dear young people, this afternoon, if you're saved. That vessel has a light in it. It must shine out. Now, in order for the light to shine out, there has to be the breaking of the vessel. I wish we could read everything here, but it takes time. There has to be the breaking of the vessel. Now, he doesn't tell you to break the vessel, but when the vessel is broken, are you willing to accept it? Are you willing to accept it? The breaking of the vessel doesn't necessarily mean that the vessel has to be crushed. That's not the thought at all. Sometimes it's a question of a beautiful vessel
that has to have the light shine through it. It has to be sandpapered inside. The potter has to do that so there will be no dark spots in it. That's the same thought as the breaking of the vessel. All the dark spots have to be removed. You'll read about this in the making of pottery. In vessels that are more or less transparent. Because it's transparency that's necessary. The shining out of that marvelous, marvelous story of the gospel of the grace of God and the conquering of Satan's hosts. And so, one more thought here and we'll close. It says in the 17th verse, look on me, look on me, that we should walk as he walked. We had that this morning. Walk as he walked. And do likewise, Gideon's a type here, behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. Those are the instructions. As I do, so shall ye do. That's not a set of rules, is it? It's just having the eye upon Christ, that's all. And you say, well, let's make this practical. What do you mean? I mean get up in the morning and take your Bible. Read it. Pray. Do a little more if you want to. We read a hymn. We sing a hymn every morning in our home and every evening. Because there should be some joy as we started out at the wine press. There should be some joy in the believer's life. Do as I do. And here these 300 men are placed 100 around the camp. And all they do... Did they run after the enemy? No, they just stand. That's the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Just stand, that's all. All they have to do is stand and break the vessel. The light shines out, and the enemy slays one another. In the tumult that arises in the third watch of the night. Did I have that right? The middle watch. Probably the second watch of the night. The enemy's routed, destroyed, sand as the sea, because God said to Gideon, I'm going to deliver you as one man. One man. Why did he need one man? He didn't need one man. But he wanted to use one man. He wanted to use one man. And maybe you're that man today. But that particular thing that you have in your heart right now, maybe you're that man. Maybe you're that sister that he wants to use for that certain thing. Have not I sent thee? So we sing that little hymn 13 in the back of the book.